Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, we'll contemporary artist and founder of the Peace Angels Project, Lynn Evola.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Tyler Crawford. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I've so been looking forward to this show since our friend Tess Cacciatore said she had a friend in town, and this woman is this, and do you remember this? And all of a sudden, all of these images came to mind, and the possibilities and the excitement about what's going to come and all of that. And I couldn't wait to have a conversation with our guest because she's an artist. And I was sensing something about her and her journey and the art and where it's coming from and where it's going and what it's going to do. And I was thinking about today's monologue, and a story came to mind, and I thought, what does that have to do with anything? And so I dismissed it, and I tried to look for something else to talk about, but it kept coming back to this story about my dad and I. And I thought, I don't want to tell that story, so let's just move on. And then I'm sitting here talking to our guest, and I said, you know, there's this monologue, and it's telling me this. And all of a sudden I thought, oh, that's why that story. And in a nutshell, the story was this, that I was singing all my life and I wanted to be a singer. And my dad kept saying to me, well, if you sang like Pavarotti, I'd support you in your singing. Or if you sang like Placido Domingo, if you don't sing like Pavarotti, at least if you sang like Placido Domingo, then I'd even support you in that. So-and-so's not good. And he'd go through the whole thing. He says, but you don't. You don't sing like any of them. So I can't support this. And actually, that's a nice way of saying what he actually said. He'd go on to say things like, gosh, I wish I had a son who was a singer. That would be really cool. But I don't have a son who has a voice. And he'd say this in front of people and all that, which was, I don't know why he would do that. I think it was partly to discourage me or I don't know. But it didn't discourage me. And I kept it up. He made it very known that I wasn't supposed to do this. When I eventually started doing singing professionally, and my father no longer could stop me, he was able to see me, hear me, and watch what was happening with me and the audience and all of that. And it was fascinating to, at one point, have my father make a complete turnaround and say, you know what? You should sing this song that Pavarotti sings. And I said, well, I can't do that like Pavarotti. He says, doesn't matter. You don't want to do it like Pavarotti. You want to do it like you do it. Do it like you do it and watch what happens. And it's interesting that the art that I was seeing and feeling inside started coming out. And it's coming out in many ways, including exactly what we're doing here today, using my voice, using our voices. And I can't wait to hear Lynn's Evola's voice talk about her art. And then can't wait to see her art live as many places in this world, because what she's doing comes from a special place and is going to many special places. And a little later on, we're going to get to hear another voice, indie soul artist Tyler Crawford, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones, on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Legere.
Well, I'm really excited for tonight's show for all sorts of reasons. But I was thinking about your monologue and how many times did you win the Sergio Frumpy vocal competition?
And there's that and several other things. Yeah, absolutely.
So more power to you.
Yeah, more power to all of us. We've all had our journey, and here we are.
And life changes.
Indeed. So our guest is an American contemporary artist who has used her career as a platform to bring attention to the disturbing proliferation of violence, which occurs in our neighborhoods and among nations. There's so much I'd like to say about her, but I'd like to hear her say it herself. But I have to say, she's got installations and has had installations and gallery showings and all of that all over the world. And she has been compared to some of the greatest artists that we have known. She is Lynn Evola. I'm so excited to have her with us. Welcome, Lynn, to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a wonderful thing to be here.
Why did you make me say that monologue? Where did it come from? What did it do? How did it play out in your life?
Well, my mother was my primary relationship, my mom and dad. And my mother gave me crayons when I was 2 years old. Mm-hmm. She got yelled at by everybody around her for doing that because they all said that I would, draw all over the walls. But I didn't because I wasn't a muralist ever. So it really was fine. Yeah, she started it all. Yeah.
And how did it evolve? Because...
Well, I started making art before I could walk or talk, and there was a funny story. You had kind of asked me about it before. When Bloomberg Radio had interviewed me in Manhattan a few years ago, the interviewer kept saying, well, when did you become an artist? And I said, I didn't. Mm. And he said, no, really, when did you become an artist? And I said, no, I didn't become an artist.
Right.
And finally, I corrected him, and I said, I've always been an artist. Yeah. I never became one.
Yeah.
So I was drawing in grammar school, in high school I was selling art and having exhibitions.
Oh.
I was one of six people accepted to Chicago Academy of Fine Art out of high school, out of the whole metropolitan area, which is where then my sweet mother who had given me the crayons, we fell out. I had saved all my money for 2 years to go to the school, and she did something not good. Let's just put it that way. Mm. Very not good. And I ended up putting all of my art away for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
For me to put art away for 2 years was like turning off your oxygen.
Mm.
And after that, I left for California, and I never looked back. And I basically, she and I had a very hard relationship for about 10 years. I could hardly even speak to her. I felt so betrayed.
Mm.
Because to some people, their vocation or their life is extra. For me, I'm an artist first, and I'm everything else second. So it wouldn't work. As a life source, it wouldn't work.
Mm.
So I do have to say, though, we did not only heal, but she became the major patron of the Peace Angels Project at the beginning.
Wow.
And she died 2 years ago, and actually Tess interviewed her. It was the only person I had interviewed my mom with me. And it was really wonderful to thank her profusely for doing that, taking that step when it made absolutely no sense to do it. Mm. I mean, at the beginning of the Peace Angels Project, most people just thought I was nuts. I mean, why would they support it?
To know what it is now and to have an inkling of where it's going, it's hard to believe that there was any disagreement with your ideas from the start. But of course, your mother had her journey.
Yeah, she did. God bless her heart.
And you have yours, and your sculpture has its journey too. Mm-hmm. So what you were drawing to begin with, you weren't just drawing angels. It wasn't about...
Oh, God, no.
Right?
No, see, I came from San Francisco, and it was funny that we're in North Hollywood. I've told this to Tess. I've told this to friends recently. It's a very strange thing. I left L.A. in 1998. I've come back 20 years later. And
wow.
I've been here in between because I worked a great deal with the city on what I'm about to tell you, but...
Yeah.
This time it feels different. It feels like I walked out of a door and I walked into a door in a total, complete time warp.
Mm.
And the things that I had said I wanted to do 20 years ago, that's what we're focused on doing now, the exact same thing. And ironically, I had been brought down by a friend, Ralph Forbes, if he would be listening, a good friend. He was a drummer for Elvis Costello.
Nice.
And he brought me to North Hollywood and introduced me to the NoHo Grill or the NoHo Bar. I'm trying to remember. Wonderful people. And I rented a small apartment. And it was during that time, November 3rd or 4th, I can't remember now, 1992, that all of this started. I was here in North Hollywood.
Wow.
I didn't stay here. In fact, it was a very strange thing because after I had the spiritual experience and I found out that 1,000 kids had been killed the year before, and I sat down with my son who, I mean, I would give my life for my son. So I don't understand how these wonderful, amazing people have not, I mean, I don't understand how they breathe every day to lose a child. Mm. And so it was in North Hollywood at that tiny apartment that I sat down to say to myself, I don't know what I can do. But I know I'm not a politician. I'm not a community activist. I'm a full-blooded artist, I mean, from my soul. So I have to look at it this way. And I wasn't a sculptor, never took a sculpture class.
Oh, really?
Never.
Wow.
Not interested. Still don't like sculpture.
Oh.
But at the core of me, I'm a painter, a drawer, and a conceptual artist. And to me, when I sat down to figure out what would become the Peace Angels Project, I said, I needed a vessel, but I needed something that human beings would resonate to. And I can, you know, I used to get yelled at San Francisco Art Institute, my alma mater, because I would play I'd do what I call play the whole keyboard. I would do everything from Japanese abstraction to, you know, very tight anatomy. They had me teaching anatomy. They didn't have anybody there. And I was great at it.
Wow.
But the combination of that and the conceptual art base from the 70s in San Francisco, that's what brought the Peace Angels Project together. Because I knew it had to be images that people would feel.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise,
mm-hmm.
they wouldn't change their heart. And the whole real work of art of the Peace Angels Project is that opening of the heart and changing your point of view from one of killing each other to not. That's the real work of art of the Peace Angels Project, not the sculptures, not the drawings, no. So I had to sit down and figure out if I was going to destroy weapons, I needed to transform them. It wasn't enough to just destroy them. What's that? And it wasn't enough to get it work to make something out of a melted weapon. That's not rocket science. It's just metal. Anybody can, I used to say any moron with a blowtorch can melt down a gun or a piece of metal. It's not hard. What would be hard, though, is getting governments, law enforcement, nations to buy into it and give me those weapons for free. And that's what I did.
Melt them down and turn them into
provocative images to raise people up. And to me, it had to be the most beautiful of the most beautiful. That's what art is. Art is beauty. So in this case, they were peace angels. But I also do the globes, like the one for Silicon Valley will be like a 64-foot globe that revolves with the revolution of the Earth.
Wow.
It'll include carbon from the atmosphere for global warming and e-waste. I mean, in The Hague, I want to do a 100-foot globe that doesn't revolve, just really dark from very dark weapons from NATO. So it took me time to really get all these relationships together. The biggest recycling company, Sims Metal Management, and SA Recycling, Gerdau Steel, they've all destroyed our weapons. LA Sheriff's Department, God bless them, gave us the first. I worked with them four generations of sheriffs. So NYPD, so very hard won, you know, relationships that could really get it done. So
well, you're really getting it done, and as a matter to the point where you have made some major strides as an artist, and I'd like to say as an artist, period.
Yeah.
But I have to add in there as a woman artist, because you brought attention to me in a previous conversation about some things that absolutely baffled me. So when we come back, those statistics I think will be really interesting.
I know what you're talking
about. proud and impressed with you, with what has happened with the art, your art. So when we come back, more with Len Evola and the Peace Angels Project, and a little later on, live music with our guest, Tyler Crawford, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
Hey guys, this is Michaela. So I'm here to tell you about the DNA Institute. If you haven't heard of it already, I wanted to let you in on it because it completely changed my life. A few years ago, I was 30 pounds overweight. I wanted a career, good friends, a loving family, and financial success, and I didn't have any of it, so I ate. Within 6 months, the DNA Institute treatment not only helped me lose the 30 pounds, it also rebalanced my hormones, healed my metabolic and digestive system, and made my higher functioning brain so loud it became impossible to overeat when I was full. Don't we all want that? So many of my friends and family turned to the Institute after they saw my success. All of them lost their desired weight, ranging from 8 to 60 pounds. I found this to be so different than anything I'd ever tried before, and it was easier than anything I'd ever done. It's not a supplement or a diet pill. It's a genuine, doctor-prescribed, custom medical treatment made just for you. It doesn't matter what your situation is or how much weight you have to lose. I believe the Institute will get you to your goal. My experience is that this is more than just a weight loss system. It's a biohack to a better way of looking, feeling, and living. When I started, I had never heard of the DNA Institute, but the fact that they've been in Beverly Hills since 1982 gave me a real peace of mind. Now that you've heard of them, click on the DNA ad at lifechangesshow.com and get your customized formula started today. Change your life like I changed mine.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Philippe. Okay, compose ourselves. Let's get back in the room. Oh wow, we just all figured out we were all, yeah, and we are. And so
that made perfect sense.
And we're kind of back. I'm Philippe sitting here with Mark and our guest Len Evola. And Len, we've been talking about her as an artist, and of course, the Peace Angels Project. Boy, I'd love to let him in what we were laughing about, but we can't. We have to move on. You are an artist, and yet we need to talk about you as a female artist. And I kind of apologize, and yet it's important, you know, because I know, you know, where you stand on that.
Yeah. I'm an artist. I don't care about the age or sex or creed or, you know, I don't care. I'm an artist since birth. And we were talking about how when the Renaissance Peace Angel, which took 13 years to install, it went from being given to the World Trade Center Museum, the 9/11 Museum. It's called the National September 11th Memorial and Museum. And then the whole process of it actually getting installed, which was October 22nd, 2018. And the curators had asked me to come to watch it. So I had researched just for fun.
And that's a permanent installation.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal.
Oh, it's a major deal.
Yeah.
So in the entire world, there are 100 living artists, which emphasis on the word living, who have their work in permanent collections in major museums worldwide.
Only 100. Of all the
living.
Art out there, only 100 living.
Now, of all the artists, living or dead, that means from the beginning of humanity that we know, of artists who have their work in permanent collections in major museums, only 3 to 5% are women.
That is
staggering.
Unbelievable.
Yes. So when I went there October 22nd, knowing that, but that's kind of abstract, and we watched the sculpture from 8 o'clock at night till almost 4 in the morning get installed with these guys that were exemplary. They moved the art. You're talking about moving 2 tons plus without making a scratch in the marble, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were just amazing. So, and all the curators were with me. And I asked them, I said, do you always bring artists to see the installation? They said, never. Mm. So I was really honored. So they were really watching me when they put the base together and then put the sculpture back on the historic base with all the signatures. We were all teary-eyed. And then, you know, that was a moment. Mm. And so I thought, okay. And then all of a sudden, they brought the grate around the sculpture, which reminded me it wasn't an ordinary installation. It was a museum, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay. Took a couple breaths. But then when they put the plaque on it, I almost fainted. I really did almost faint because, you know, I've grown up going to museums and seeing the artist's name and the year and some, you know, verbiage. Yeah. But like I said, they're dead.
Yeah.
99.5%.
Yeah. And they didn't see the installation.
That's what I'm saying. They never saw it during their lifetime. And I was looking at it. And they had asked me at the museum, the chief curator, years ago, 2013, when I signed it over to them. They said, put down your full name. And that's where I put Linda Marie Viola Evola Warnke Smith. Because Linda Marie was my birth name. Viola was my mother's name. Evola was my dad's name. And then Warnke was my son Jason's father, who had passed away. But Jason, his daughter, his son to come, you know, everybody, that's, you know, artists do things for immortality. We're not going to be here. So I'm not going to be here forever, and yet Jason's family will with that last name.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, that's tough. And Daniel Peabody Smith, my husband, who had sacrificed so much to help me get that sculpture in the museum. So all those things were on the base and the plaque. And then on this plaque, this part is so essential. I had written, after I left North Hollywood, downtown LA, and gone back to San Francisco in 1993. I sat there for 2 years writing what would become known as the Peace Angels Project. And what I had written was that we would do 12 Peace Angels throughout Los Angeles with echo sites in source countries that have the original grudges that caused the fighting here.
Oh, wow.
And
oh, wow.
The first peace angel I was writing in there was the Renaissance peace angel, because Sextus V had ridden into Rome in the 1400s after the Crusades, and he had put up obelisks in Rome, which became the official beginning of the Renaissance. So I wanted the Renaissance peace angel to be the Renaissance for America, to stop the killing.
Wow.
To stop the killing.
Renaissance of peace.
To stop the killing.
Wow.
So I wrote in 1993 that the Peace Angel, Renaissance Peace Angel, would go to the World Trade Center in New York.
In 1993, you wrote this?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, how would I even think that when I'd been to New York twice for like 5 minutes apiece? I had no relationship with New York. And yet, like I said a few minutes ago, it seems very strange that I left 20 years ago. Now I came back to L.A. like walking through a door. And now what we're working on are the 12 Peace Angels throughout Los Angeles, moving up to the monument in downtown L.A.
Wait. Let's hold off on that, because I know you're saying things that nobody knows right now. So so before we get into that, I have to say your Peace Angel is now at the museum there in New York permanently. However, did you not have a Peace Angel that was sent to that area during 9/11?
It's the same one.
It's the same one.
It went from Berkeley, where it was created in 1994-5, to Crossroads School of Arts and Sciences in 1997. We unveiled it through the whole world. And then in 2001, it was brought across the country and brought to Ground Zero. In fact, my son told me a story the night before we had the party, November 2nd, that the rescue workers, who of course were digging up things we don't even want to discuss in the atmosphere we don't even want to discuss, and they were hungry, and they didn't know where to go. And they started to tell each other, go find the angel. Because I felt that my work of art, that's great, beautiful work of art, but it really became a peace angel. when it stood there.
It was doing its work all right.
It was doing its work.
Yeah.
Which is now what it's doing in the museum that has all representative of death, and it's the only thing that stands for life. And now it gives me the platform to come back home to L.A. and create the Peace Angels throughout Los Angeles.
Right. And one more thing before we get into that, I love how you say that a lot of that there's an imbalance of you know, we talk more and think more about the death and the violence and the destruction, mm-hmm. and the Peace Angels are about
the Peace Angels are about putting more emphasis on the peace side, so human beings will continue to exist.
Yeah.
That's really what it's about. It's our consciousness that brings us forward. So if our consciousness is all about death, guess what? So even though I do believe that we have a lot to work on, I think that it's really important that human beings take time to focus on positive things and take a step forward. It's a very hard discipline in the middle of the night when you're worried and you're scared. And it's hard to take your own brain cells and kind of shift them around. It takes a muscle. But it's important. It's important for us and now for our children and grandchildren that are in front of us. It's important. These kids don't really feel like they have a future. And I think part of it is our own fault. So what I wanted to do with the Peace Angels project, and you don't know me well, but if you did, you'd know that I'd rather be dead than be sappy in any way. I cannot stand sappy anything. So I'm not saying to be without grit, but I'm saying it's time for us to have the strength to be a little bit more profound and positive.
Well said.
And my sculptures stand for taking the weapons somewhere else. They don't end with just a piece of garbage. They end with taking the soul up, which is the function of art. That's what the basic function of art has always been.
And an inspiration.
Yeah.
And an inspiration. Okay. So us being in Los Angeles, of course, this is exciting for anywhere in the world, but especially Los Angeles. Well, why Los Angeles? Why are you picking that?
Well, because when I came here and I had that experience, I think I told you about, was a spiritual experience. It was here.
Yeah, it was here.
My son was also born here.
Yeah.
And with that experience and finding out in November of 1992 that 1,000 children had been killed here, I started to write the Peace Angels Project with Los Angeles in mind. That was the whole point. I didn't write it for other places.
Right.
But it kind of ended up going other places to get that sculpture installed in New York, which is fantastic. I'm glad it's there. But I'd love now to continue the work that I started.
So what have we to look forward to that you haven't shared with anybody? So much you haven't shared with anybody that when I met you at Tess's house, you didn't even share with me then that there was something that had to happen before, and then I assume it's happened, and what can we share now?
Well, I'm working with Councilman Koretz's office. I have been for a while, 4 or 5 years now. He's a terrific councilman. And he's worked with his office to look for sites for the big monument. But I always knew that I wanted to do the 12 Peace Angels throughout Los Angeles in the different districts. And basically, to work on a 64-foot monument...
64 feet.
...is the big monument. The big city monument is 1 million weapons.
Wow.
So we've worked on very, very, very lot of work to work with the Sims Metal Management, SA Recycling, even Gerdau Steel, and helping us destroy weapons. I've received thousands of guns and street weapons and 100 barrels of nuclear. And now the goal is, with our Peace Angels Project USA Weapons Destruction Campaign, to go throughout cities in the United States and just basically take about 1 million weapons to make the big monument, the 64-foot monument for Los Angeles. It'll be, the top part is fundamentally nuclear. It takes the nuclear stainless steel to make the shine and the shimmer of it.
Wow.
The labyrinth underneath will be the walk of suffering and the walk of achievement that leads to the Los Angeles of today. There's about 100,000 kids we've lost, and their names will all be in the weapons blocks on the labyrinth. So the weapons blocks will help to fund it with the patrons. There'll be humanitarian philanthropists who have done extreme good and humanitarian activists who stand upon the base. So it's all a story. And it's a story of the Los Angeles of today, which I am a very great admirer because I've met the Khalid Shahs and the Billy Weisses, you know, the people in the city of Los Angeles, Greg Boyle. These are my heroes from years ago. And I watched them in these 26 years save thousands and thousands of lives. So I want to capture that story. So that's going to be the little bit longer story, and I imagine the USA Weapons Destruction Campaign for the first 2 years and then start the production on the big one. But in that 2 years, I think it would be lovely to do 12 Peace Angels throughout Los Angeles, the same size as the Renaissance Peace Angel at the World Trade Center, 11 feet. And because of my contacts, I can not only make them with weapons from Los Angeles, but weapons from the United States, weapons from overseas. I mean, wouldn't it be nice for the Jerusalem Peace Angel to have Israeli and Palestinian weapons in there as well?
Wow.
So I can do that because of the contacts that I put together.
Wow. And just getting those contacts and having them respect you in the way that they have. As a matter of fact, I think, weren't you the only person ever allowed in the...
Yeah, I'm the only artist allowed at the closed meetings on disarmament at the UN. The United Nations, the Peace Angels Project is now an official NGO of the United Nations.
Wow.
And my contacts there are the ones that have brought me to NATO. So yes, all these pieces had to fit together
exactly
before we can do this right.
And here you are. And so thank you for sharing that on our show. And it's very exciting. And here it goes, or here it comes. So when we come back a little bit more with Lynn, Lynn Evola, and then our Ask Dorothy segment is coming up as well. And then a little later on, live music with Tyler Crawford, all on the Life Changers Show when we come back after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter, at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Lynn Evola. And when I was first learning about Lynn and I was reading about her and all that stuff, that she had been compared, like I said at the beginning of the show, to many artists that we would know. And one of them that caught my attention was Leonardo da Vinci. And then to learn about the different aspects of her and how you said you taught
anatomy
and all that, I'm like, oh, this is all starting to come together. And so no one has ever, you know, not that I know of, asked Leonardo why, but you know, we've got Lynn Evola here. Why at now that you can do anything you want with your art and your abilities, why this project has seemingly taken over everything for you?
Well, it's because I can.
Mm.
That's the real answer.
Mm.
I can because I have the skill base, and I also have the story. And I think that when you look at the children that are, like I said,
yeah,
there's shootings and killings of our children. And what I wrote the Peace Angels Project to be kind of like the Pied Piper of Hamelin, where instead of the rats going into the sea, the weapons go in the sea. Mm. I don't know that it's going to be solved by politicians or community activists. I bless them and think we need to give them all the support we possibly can, change laws, etc. But the Peace Angels Project's not about that. The Peace Angels Project is about the beginning of humanity. It's the actual, what I call, human stain, that we go after each other, that we have anger toward each other, that we hurt each other. I don't care if we melt down nuclear or landmines or guns. In San Francisco, they asked me to melt down needles because of the horrible drug issue. You know, I don't care. Because when the LA Art Commission asked me a few years ago, why was I melting down guns? It's just a symbol. Yeah. I would melt down a lack of kindness if I could. This isn't about...
You need to meme that. Turn that into a meme. I mean, that's so... For a piece of art.
I would melt down a lack of kindness if I could.
Yeah. Wow. Let's let people know how they can get a hold of you, how they can support you in the project and the Peace Angels in Los Angeles and the rest of the world. So it's simple as peaceangels.com.
Yeah.
Peaceangels.com. The project is the Peace Angels Project. And you can... Yeah, and you could write Lynn directly at info@peaceangels.com, or you could always contact the show, but Lynn, you can be contacted at info@peaceangels.com. And there are so many ways people can support and be part of this. This is so exciting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being part of our show and sharing, or being part of our world and sharing
thank you so much.
The way that you do.
Thank you, Filippo.
So beautiful. And thank you, Tess Cacciatore, for sharing Lynn Evola with us.
Thank you, Tess.
With that, again, once again, peaceangels.com, and write her directly if you'd like at info@peaceangels.com, Lynn Evola. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Angie from Costa Mesa, California. You helped me see that the man I was with at the time I took your workshop just wasn't a relationship that served me. I thought that if I loved him enough, he would change, and you showed me that the only person I can ever change is me. I am very grateful for the gift of knowing this, and even though I am no longer with that man, I can't seem to stop beating myself up for all of the time, over 8 years, I wasted on him, and this leads to major depression. How can I move on without constantly punishing myself for my past mistakes?
Wow. Human beings have been taught to punish ourselves for our less than elegant choices. The truth is that there are no mistakes. There are simply choices that we can choose to learn from and that can help us understand what it means to be human. Instead of beating yourself up for not getting the lesson sooner, you could choose to examine how much you have changed because of this man. The truth is that you are no longer the same Angie that you were 8 years ago. In spite of all of the trauma and drama that occurred during your time with him, I believe that there were also many gifts for you. Before you broke up, you learned to speak your truths and to have more meaningful conversations. You learned that you don't have to settle for a relationship that does not serve you. You learned to put yourself first and to love you more than you loved him. And now you can take these gifts and use them to co-create a relationship with your divine complement. I believe that the first step towards doing this is for you to forgive yourself for ever believing that you were not worthy of creating a loving and mutually beneficial, passionate relationship. Angie, I use this phrase for my daily invocation to take me out of the space of, I don't know how to forgive myself. And it helps a lot. When I find myself not knowing what to do, I remember that my higher self does know, and I say with feeling, I love myself enough to always do the things I know I need to do. This phrase has helped me time after time, and I believe it will benefit you too.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our musical guest, Tyler Crawford, here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back. I'm Filippo. Of course, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Lynn Evola. And joining us in the studio is one particular special young man, Tyler Crawford. He's an indie soul artist. He's a singer-songwriter, and he is also a student of one of our friends and past guest. Yeah, you're pointing right at her, Annika Paris. So we're grateful that this all happened. Also, thanks to Tess Cacciatore. She's our guest co-producer for the day and for the episode, and grateful for that. So you have come to music also in an interesting way, because your family was not musical.
Not at all.
At all.
No. No one at all. My grandma had a piano in her living room. That's kind of where I started it.
Probably not tuned, right?
No, not at all. It's still not tuned.
It's still not.
Yeah, it's still not. But that's kind of where I figured out that I liked music, but no one played it but me. So.
And then you picked up other instruments.
Yeah, and then I picked up guitar, and then I started singing, and that's where I found my passion.
Well, interestingly enough, didn't you make a foray into audio engineering at one point?
Yeah, I took, I used to go to a university in Washington, and I took an audio engineering class, and for one of our projects, we had to record a song, and I went and sang for it, and then that was when I was like, okay, yeah, I definitely 100% want to do this for sure.
Wow. And we're glad you did, because you've written some beautiful stuff. And, you know, interesting, it's interesting that I heard something in your music, and Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo, our technical director, heard something else in your music. And we both shared with you, we hear this, and you said you've never heard anybody say that, but they were influences. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's always interesting to hear what people think I sound like, because it's always something different, and I feel like that reflects on my influences, because I'm influenced by so many different people, and maybe that's why I have the unique sound, because I'm influenced by so many different things.
And you're really, really young, and yet the music that you've been influenced by has been like decades and decades.
Yeah,
and
like decades 50s, ago. 60s, 70s, that's all I listen to.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's see what the audience gets to hear in the music that they're going to enjoy right now. The first piece you're going to perform is Wandering Heart.
Yes.
It's going to be on your new or first record coming out in the spring, not long from now. This is exciting.
Yes.
Is this, I didn't think to ask you this, is this the first time you're singing live on radio?
Yeah, I've never done anything like this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, great. Exciting. Thanks. Welcome. Well, this is great then. All right. Well, here is... Oh, well, we should also mention that you have a friend here with
us. Yes, I do. I'm playing with Nolan Sloan. He's my guitar player, and he's amazing.
And he's part of a bigger group, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in a bunch of different groups.
No, I mean with you.
Yeah, with me. We have a full band that's... We're going to start gigging out in LA, so look out for that too.
So we get to hear you unplugged. Well, here is Tyler Crawford performing Wandering Heart live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo.
I have looked all around, searched every corner of this town. A million faces pass me by. I wonder if I've looked into your eyes. Oh, when will I find someone to take my of everything? When will I see you standing next to me? Oh, this wandering heart of mine is waiting for the day you find me. Yeah. Oh, sorrow in my soul is longing for you. Come and find me. I've been down every road, the same streets, and starting to grow. Oh, 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 oh. A million lips upon my cheek. I wonder if it ever will be a kiss from you to me. Yeah. Oh, when will I find someone to take my mind off of everything? When will I see you standing next to me? Oh, this wandering heart of mine is waiting for the day you find me. Oh, oh, this sorrow in my soul is longing for you. Come and find.
Tyler Crawford, Thank you so much. So people can find you, Tyler Crawford Music, on Facebook and Tyler Crawford Music on Instagram. Yep. And then you've also got a website that's got too many things to pronounce, but they can find you, and they can also find us, find you on our website as well. And you perform a lot, actually, around town.
Yeah, starting to,
More and more. Because you are actually, aren't you graduating soon?
I'm graduating in 2 weeks.
From
Musicians Institute in Hollywood.
Which is how we know you, because of you. Annika's
Annika. She was my teacher.
And she was your teacher for what exactly? What are you?
She was a teacher for a class called Artist Development, which actually helped me so much. She helped me a lot. But it's a class where you have to write songs, your own originals, and then you form a band yourself, and then you go and perform with 13 other students that are taking the class.
Nice.
And then at the very end, there's a there's someone who wins the contest.
Exactly. And so I'm watching you sing, and I wish people could see it, and they can. You've got some videos out there, and we even posted one. But you sing with so much passion, and the funny thing is that you write about things that you know, but you also write about some things people say, like whimsical or
I funny. Pay attention to people sometimes and what they tell me, and a lot of times someone will say something and I'll be like, that's a song right there, and then I'll make a note of it and then I'll write about it later. And that's some of the funnest songs to write about, is kind of creating someone else's story that they've talked about.
So you make up a story of
up a story about based on what they said, and that's super fun for me.
Oh, that's interesting. And another interesting thing is you were so adamant about how much you've learned from artists in the past. And then you said, I never listen to today's radio.
I don't. Yeah, I don't.
and then I thought, well, wait a minute. Adele.
Right. But she's also, influenced by the same people I'm influenced by.
Oh, interesting.
She has the old soul. So, of course, I was attracted to her music.
Good point. Good point. This next song, is this one of the things you heard somebody say, or is this kind of more personal?
This is a personal one.
Yeah. Okay.
But it'll speak for itself.
In other words, don't ask me any more questions about the song. Nope. Just listen.
Just listen.
So with that, and by the way, I heard this. I've heard this before, actually, but I also heard you all in rehearsal, and I had to compliment Nolan Sloan on his guitar playing on this. Because he wrote the chords, right?
Yeah.
So as well as listening to the great job that Tyler's going to do, you might want to listen to some of these chords in there.
Yeah, definitely.
Also influenced from the past.
Yeah, definitely.
So two old souls in here.
Yep.
Here's Tyler Crawford performing his song Red Wine live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo.
Glass half full in a bed half empty. I'm in the sheets, but I want you with me now, now. I know we've got plans tomorrow, but I can't wait for tomorrow. We're busy, I get it. I know I seem desperate, but I need your affection. And you, it's not just the red wine staying in my mind. With thoughts of you, I'm always thinking of you, always thinking of. Party of one, but I still want to feel your fingers through my hair, whispering in my ear. I'm drunk on the words you say, and I know we've got plans tomorrow, but I can't wait for tomorrow. We're busy, I get it. I know I seem desperate, but need your affection. You, you, it's not just the red wine staying in my mind with thoughts of you.
Tyler Crawford, I get it. You're really good. I'm glad you're on the show.
Thank you.
That was awesome. How do you feel?
Lots of adrenaline. It happens every time, but I feel good.
Yeah, but you know, for not having done this before, kudos to you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
With one of your teachers looking at you and
I'm
filming you
nervous.
From the other, and in this small space with all of us like staring at you, and you're already an old pro, so more power
Thank
to you.
You.
Great that you brought Nolan Sloan with you. Thank you, Nolan. So Tyler Crawford is more and more all over. You could find him at Tyler Crawford Music on Facebook and Instagram. You also have Spotify or SoundCloud or something.
Yeah, SoundCloud. Yeah. I'm going to start releasing
more and more.
Songs. Yeah.
So people just need to follow you there.
Follow it and keep looking out.
Well, we'll keep looking out for you. Hope to see you again. And, congratulations on your graduating from the Musicians Institute of Hollywood.
Thank you.
More power to you. So thank you, Tyler Crawford. And thank you once again to our guest, Lynn Evola. And today is... been very special also because we do have Annika Paris here and Tess Cacciatore as our you're filming me, how lovely, as our guest. Now I'm nervous. How's my hair? As our guest.
Looks great.
Thank you. As our guest co-producer for this episode. I really am nervous.
He is nervous.
How'd that happen? What am I talking? I talked myself into being nervous. How can I be with so much love in the room? Thank you all. And with that, that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Lesher, and myself, Filippo Voltaggio, first of all, we'd like to thank Brent Hahn for making us all sound so great here at Studio NoHo.
Thank you, Brent.
As our technical director. And we want to thank you. Reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.